Thank you, Matt, for the introduction. I am a soil fertility specialist, joined Clemson University at the start of this year. That's why you are seeing Clemson logo here. But this work is done in Purdue University by my professor, Dr. Jeff Polenik and Sylvie Browder. So if something is wrong, they are responsible. So what is the need of this study? We do know most of the biofuel production, lot of emphasis has been going on the dedicated energy crop like miscanthus, switchgrass, or other high biomass crop production, which utilize very less nitrogen or even phosphorus and potassium. And I have given a talk onto that last year, that what is the relationship between phosphorus and potassium for these crops. One of the challenges is that if somebody is having that kind of the rotation, they are locked into that kind of the perennial system for a couple of years. So you cannot switch back and forth if you are into that rotation. So it is better to have some kind of more flexible system. And I think that was the major criteria they had, or the rationale for their study, to come up with the annual system so farmers don't have to stick with the long 5 or 10 year perennial system. And then we also know in the recent years, focus is not only on sorghum breeding just for optimizing the yield. It is mainly to how to have better hybrid line. We can have higher cellulosic concentration that can be used for the ethanol production. And that's the theme for the second generation feedstock crops to produce biofuel. And obviously sorghum is one of a good candidate to have a high cellulosic ethanol content. But the and then one of the issue that I feel like while giving a presentation last year and this year is we still don't know how to fully convert the cellulosic feedstock from the perennial crops to the ethanol. And I imagine that's a challenge in these also, because there is a high cellulose content compared to corn, when you have a high starch and sugar, and it is easily convertible. So this study was done on the marginal land, and marginal in a sense like that is not economically fit for the corn production, which is mainland crop production system. Then we also had a very poor nutrient status for those soil, high erosivity and shallow rooting depth. So those were the cases to consider it as a marginal land. And the objective for our study, we wanted to compare different sorghum species with the mainland continuous corn system across multiple site year. So typically what happens in study like that, it is focused on one marginal site, which might not be a representative size. And Purdue is a very good in that sense. They have these packs located across the state, and they can test in a variety of the environment. So we wanted to see how the sorghum lines differ compared to corn in terms of their carbohydrate pool, and also how does it impact with the management. And in our case, we just focused on the nitrogen. And the rationale was quite same, that we have these new hybrid lines. How do they perform on marginal conditions and also with the nitrogen management? We wanted to test that. And this study was done from 2011 to 15, so over the course of 5 years, over three sites. And all these three are marginal in their own unique ways. Then the main plot was nitrogen fertilizer rates, and we tested from 0 to 200 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. And we had four crop species: corn, dual purpose sorghum, sweet sorghum, and photoperiod sensitive sorghum. In future slide, I will refer dual purpose sorghum as DPS, sweet sorghum as SS, and photoperiod sensitive sorghum as PSS. So what was the criteria of the selection of sorghum line? They got in touch with the sorghum breeders at the Purdue University. They helped them to select these hybrid lines. Obviously, they wanted to see some sorghum lines that can be dependable over the long period of time, not only the high biomass, but how do they perform over the years also. So they had dual-purpose sorghum, and which has high yield either in stover or in the total production, and sweet sorghum, which obviously has more non-structural carbohydrate than grain sorghum, but it typically end up in low grain yield. Then they had photoperiod-sensitive sorghum, which has typically high biomass yield because of the longer vegetative growth season and also having a high cellulosic concentrations. So that was the rationale of selecting these sorghum lines. So I was not part of the study when this was done. They just gave me the file and I had to analyze it. And one of the beauty was why I was interested, because it had lot of site years, and these last few years I was trying my hand on the nonlinear modeling techniques. So one of the thing I always intrigued by how to fit these different functions. And in this case, we have a large amount of data set that can be used. So we typically fit either linear or quadratic, and somebody is getting more fancy, they will end up linear plus plateau or quadratic plateau. This year I end up in this study, I not only looked at the linear response plateau, but I also looked at the linear response stochastic plateau. So what is the difference between two? First one is deterministic. Basically, you are only after the variation on the intercept, that what is happening when n is zero. And when you are looking at this stochastic plateau, you are basically looking how that plateau actually fluctuates at the higher yield level. And that's very interesting, looking at the basically economic study. So that's how I incorporated into that. And while doing this modeling, then I set up the criteria that how I'm going to fit the best model. First, we looked at the parameter. We looked at if the parameter is non-significant, let us say the square term, then why to pick for the quadratic? Then why not to go for the just the linear response? And then if there is still a rational to do more testing, then rather than just picking the Akaiki criteria, then go for the log likelihood ratio test, because this gives you a test statistics to perform and say whether one is significantly different than the others. And if that doesn't help, then just go for the third criteria, basically Akaiki, BIC, or others. So basically they were planting, and then they not much going on during the growing season, but they picked up the 10 plants, I think, before 1 month before the harvesting. And they looked at what is the carbohydrates pool going on into that. And that at the time of the harvesting, they took the plants and they dissected into the grain as well as the stores. So looking into those subsets too. So what we are looking here on the x-axis is nitrogen fertilizer rate. Like I said, it ranged from 0 to 200 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. And on the y-axis, we are looking at the dry biomass yield, which is basically the total biomass yield in the whole plant that has been done on the 10 plants basis. I fit the models into that one. So for each species, I fit a different model and compared which one is the best. And so the best models now are, you can see into these one. And here, like I said, DPS is dual purpose sorghum, PSS is photoperiod sensitive sorghum, and SS is sweet sorghum. And you can see that there is a shift in the plateau as you look into the sorghum lines. But in case of the corn, it is just linear and it keep on increasing, but the biomass yield, it is still not, we cannot achieve that yield. So this is a key question, means that's the reason they had this study, because they know that the corn is not going to perform well. So what we should select in those kind of the marginal land. And looking at that, based on this, we can say, okay, the photoperiod sensitive sorghum, it has a high potential because it has a high biomass yield throughout across all the nitrogen fertilizer rate. Okay, here is parameter statistics, and that's what I was talking to you. When you pick up the best selected model, and here is the best selected model for each species. This is the term I was talking to you, that what is the randomness in the plateau. You can see this is the variation, and when you take its square root, something around 4, and highest for the PSS, that's something around 5. So intercept is 8 plus minus 5. So that's the variation you are considering into that. We don't have the stochastic model fit as the best model. That's why you are not seeing the stochastic intercept here. But you can see that even though we have achieved high biomass yield for the photoperiod sensitive sorghum, but there is a huge randomness, and that randomness is related to the site and years. Okay, so what is that the maximum yield we have achieved? So here we are looking at the agronomic optimum N fertilizer rate, and the highest was achieved by photoperiod sensitive sorghum, 12.4 mega hectare, and lowest was by the corn. But look at the rate, nitrogen fertilizer rate that has been changed. It required almost 150 kilogram nitrogen to maximize the yield for photoperiod sensitive sorghum. and in case of the sweet sorghum 135. But the beauty is sweet sorghum, you have less randomness in the across the years. So that's a considerable effect, because somebody might say, okay, I can grow these crops, but what is the surety that the yield will fluctuate or not? And that's why, since sorghum is more drought tolerant, that's why they are picking up these hybrid lines. So here we are looking at the cellulose. I did not put much effort into fitting up all these 10 different models, because it is a laborious process. I end up just fitting the linear response across each species. And what you are seeing here, the linear decline in the cellulose concentration with the increase in the fertilizer rate. But the highest concentration for the cellulose was found in the photoperiod sensitive sorghum. Others were very close. We have not done the test statistics. But the significance was found, I believe, linear decrease was found only for the photoperiod sensitive sorghum. Here we are almost having similar trend for the hemicellulose concentration, but here photoperiod sensitive sorghum is more comparable to the other sorghum species. Here is the lignin content. So okay, now we have looked at the cellular and hemicellulose concentration, but what about the lignin, which is a main concern to convert the feedstock into the ethanol? And we're supposed to have a lowest lignin content that can be a good candidate crop. And in this case, we have seen like photoperiod sensitive sorghum is performing high biomass, but it also has a high lignin content. So the question comes, in the future, the breeder need to come out with the idea that how we can put the genes and lower down the lignin content for those sorghum species. So I will sum up my results into that we have seen like the sorghum species, almost all the species, they reached a plateau in their biomass yield within a chosen range of nitrogen rate. So it means that that production system is probably has more potential than just growing corn on those land. However, that plateau actually fluctuated between the sorghum lines. And then we also notice there is a linear decrease in cellulose and hemicellulose concentration with the increase of the nitrogen, and except for the corn. We also found the lignin concentration, like I have shown in the previous slide, was found higher for the photoperiod sensitive sorghum. So that's, I think, the take-home message from this study, that okay, photoperiod sensitive sorghum, it has a high potential for the growing on the marginal land. But now, working with engineers or the animal scientists, how to convert into the ethanol, that's the key question. And with this, I think I am done with my talk, and I will try to answer if you have any questions.